I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Somebody in North Korea is about to eat a surface-to-air missile.
But what an intro.
Well, you know, Kim Jong-un got mad at his uncle years ago and fired a surface-to-air missile at him. That's how he executed his uncle.
Dumb.
Needless to say, there wasn't much left of the uncle to bury.
That would be a good assumption, yeah.
A North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, said a serious accident affecting the launch of the country's newest warship yesterday, quote, was a criminal act caused by pure carelessness. The state-run Korean Central News Agency reported that the launch failed after the vessel became stuck on its launching sled and tipped over, causing damage to the bottom of the warship. The incident occurred in the northeast part of the country. Well-known KCNA television anchor Ri Chun-hee said in a broadcast that the incident was caused by, quote, inexperienced command and operational carelessness. She said, and I continue the quote, in the course of the launch slide of the stern has departed first and stranded as the flat car failed to move in parallel. I have no idea what I just read. Some sections of the warship's bottom were crushed, destroying the balance of the warship, and the bow could not leave the shipway.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Have you seen those massive ships get launched, like for the maiden, like off the platform that they're on, whether it's a cruise ship or a warship? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrifying thing to watch. And so this warship got stuck
And tipped over.
And damaged?
Yes, it was damaged.
That is a big deal.
Kim Jong-un said those responsible would be, quote, dealt with next month.
Yikes.
Their families will miss them.
I'm not laughing.
Wow.
And I'm proud to be an American.
I, too, am proud to be an American.
Yes, sir.
it says here, there's no nice way to put this, but under present MLB terms, the 2025 Colorado Rockies could genuinely become known as one of the worst professional baseball teams of all time.
They're bad.
That's what makes it seem quite fitting that the Rockies are boasting a pathetic 8-40 record at the time of this writing.
Woo!
Provided that Colorado maintains that pace, it will officially surpass the 2024 White Sox for the most losses in modern Major League Baseball history. And now a Rockies fan is suing the team. After getting hit by a foul ball in 2023, using the ineptitude in a legal argument. According to the Denver Post, the fan, who suffered catastrophic and permanent injuries after getting hit in the eye, is partially blaming the Rockies for being so awful that essentially any fan attending one of their home games could not reasonably be expected to pay attention to the baseball, their quote, happening on the field. He said he was so bored because the team was so bad that he was looking at his cell phone when he got hit in the eye by a foul ball.
There cannot be a way this guy wins this lawsuit. That is...
I love the principle of it, though. That's hilarious.
It's hilarious. It is hilarious. And it's from 2 years ago.
The team is so bad, I was so bored that I wasn't watching what was happening on the field, and therefore I took a baseball to my eye.
But you say that, Bobby, and we have seen the number of lawsuits that people have won.
And you've talked about them on the show, I know.
Regarding the foul balls, hitting their kid. I mean, we've seen some horrifying stories. People losing eyesight in one of their eyes because of these foul balls, to the point that we now have netting all the way to the foul pole.
Well, I think that was responsible. That was a good thing. I don't know. Too many, even traditionalists, don't argue that. But
And it really doesn't
it
obscure
does not,
your
it
view.
It really doesn't. It's protected a lot of people because there were some nasty, serious injuries.
But I've always wondered, like, you know, obviously the netting's been up behind home plate for a long time, but if you're down the first base side, third base side, whatever, I've always wondered how people get hit with a baseball, a foul ball. Because wouldn't everybody else in your section, presumably, not everybody, but presumably a number of people in your section in the row in front of you, two rows in front of you, theoretically be paying attention to the game, and you would know that there was some excitement. Maybe you only have a second or two, but there's some excitement going on around me for some reason. Oh, wait, that's because the ball's coming over here.
Think about this, though. The best hitters in the world, the ball comes off the bat somewhere between 115 yeah. miles per hour.
Yeah.
The projectile
comes out faster than the ball was going in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And at a baseball, we've all been to a baseball game, and Allison would argue, look, I'm bored at baseball games too. She would say that, not me, that it's easy to lose interest in the game. So you're talking to your friends, you're trying to find interest. So if you're a casual fan, I get that. But I've been to plenty of professional baseball games and played in a lot of baseball games. And sometimes you just got no time to react.
And before the net went all the way to the foul line, yeah, some of those line drives, if you were right up front on the first or third base line.
Scary.
Yeah, you could blink and get smacked in the face with one of those hits. But if it's a fly ball,
yeah,
you're just not paying attention. Okay. But I love the excuse. I mean, if you were better at baseball, I would have been watching the game. I would not have been hit.
You know where I am shocked that there is not netting? And I'm being serious. Would you care to guess?
At a baseball game?
It's not at a baseball game. It's another sporting event.
I know what you're going to say.
Go ahead, say it.
Behind the goal at soccer games?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why there are not nets behind the goal?
Because that thing's flying fast.
At a professional soccer game. I mean, let me say this. You just mentioned how many baseball games you've been to and how many you've played in.
Yeah, soccer's for you.
I've been to more soccer games than I can count. I've played in more soccer games than I can count. I cannot kick the ball and never have been able to kick the ball, even in my prime, as hard as Major League Soccer players, and dare I say English Premier League soccer players, can kick that ball. There is no protection behind that net. And can you imagine taking a soccer ball to the face?
Oh, the media game that we were at, I watched. I was over in the GA behind the south goal, and I watched a couple of people. There were a couple of missiles that left the foot of the forwards. And I watched a couple of people get clobbered right in the chest because they were looking at their friend. And that has to hurt. That leaves a mark. I mean, if they lifted their shirt up, I guarantee you the pattern from that ball was imprinted on their chest. Got to pay attention, people.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But, I mean, why is there not netting behind a goal?
Does it say what he's suing for?
Oh, God. Let me find the story again.
Because I guarantee you he will get money from this.
You really believe that?
They'll settle, yeah.
Man.
Absolutely.
No, it doesn't say how much he's suing for.
Especially with all of the other cases that we've seen where people have gotten large sums.
So
if they can give him $500,000 to shut up and go away.
I did not know this off the top of my head, so I will say that I'm reading this online right now. But the quote unquote baseball rule is a longstanding legal doctrine that the operators of all baseball facilities have a limited duty to protect fans from the risk of being hit by a foul ball. The judicial principle first emerged on widespread scale in 1942 Missouri Supreme Court case Hudson versus Kansas City Baseball Club that then put the onus on the club to protect fans because they have a certain level of liability.
Then why do they write on the back of every ticket when they used to print
tickets? Just another layer of liability protection. Just like,
well, but if the team is liable, then...
Yeah, this was 1942, so that was the first layer. And then, of course, which there are no real tickets anymore, by the way.
Right.
So it's all fine print on your phone screen.
We also know that if you have a good enough lawyer, the writing on the back of that ticket means squat.
About as much as stay back 300 feet
yeah.
on the back of a dump truck.
If you have a creative lawyer, they will get around that writing 7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
Somebody just mentions hockey games, but they have plexiglass.
Well,
it breaks sometimes.
Yeah, and if it goes above the plexiglass, again, missiles. We're talking a lot about missiles.
Would you rather be hit in the face with a foul ball, a hockey puck, or a soccer ball kicked by an all-star forward at a soccer game?
You could snap your head back.
Because I think I'd least want to be hit by a hockey puck.
I think that, because that's...
That could be
the puck's
fatal.
The worst.
There's no give or take there.
And you want to talk about speed.
A lot of hard edges.
Woo.
Will you Google, Sam, how fast does the puck come off the stick on a shot?
You think it's faster than a baseball?
I bet it is faster than 100 miles an hour. 10
miles per hour?
Yeah.
The fastest slap shot ever clocked, 109.2 miles per hour.
Okay, so it's coming off just as roughly as fast as a baseball coming off a bat.
Speed of a line drive.
This is going to be
102. I think the fastest of all time is like 115, 116,
82.
Right?
Is that would be the average, I bet.
Yep. Oh, you're right. That is the average speed. Yeah. Some reach 100 miles per hour or higher.
Yeah.
Like the stud the Royals have in the minors right now, Jack Caglione.
He's had a couple
balls hit off the bat this year in the minor leagues at like 115 miles per hour.
Fastest line drive ever, 122.4 miles per hour.
Dude, that's going to take out some teeth.
Fastest soccer shot. You guys love listening to me type?
Well, no, but I love the information you're giving out. I think it's interesting.
Ooh, the fastest. Okay, there we have it.
How
in
fast?
In terms of speed, the soccer shot is the most dangerous, 131.8 miles per hour.
Dude, right to the dome, just crack.
How do you, but there's a little give on the ball as opposed to a hockey puck or a baseball.
Still going
to
move your head back.
Yeah.
And next, probably the bigger injury there.
Even the baseball has some give. You may not think it will, but it will have some give. The hockey puck is just, that's straight rubber to the dome, baby.
Somebody in the text line says, is KMVZ now a sports station? No, we don't break down those kind of numbers. We break down numbers like how fast does a hockey puck travel and how much would it hurt if you got hit in the face with it?
Yeah, and if that sounded like an educated sports conversation, I have questions for you.
The guys next door are talking about batting averages and ERAs. We're over here saying, now, would you rather get hit in the face with a hockey ball or a soccer ball? 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm sure by now everybody's heard the news out of Washington, D.C. overnight. Just disgusting, horrible, murderous attack on a young couple as they were coming out of a Jewish event at a Jewish museum in Washington, D.C. And the young lady who was killed, Sarah Milgram, happens to be from Overland Park, graduated from Shawnee Mission East High School and also the University of Kansas. Sam has some new information on the charges against the person believed responsible.
The 31-year-old suspect, I won't even say his name.
Good.
It is important to note that the two victims were members of the Israeli embassy, as I tell you these charges. The 31-year-old suspect has been charged with murder of a foreign official. Now, it does not specify what degree, but if you go over to the U.S. Penal Code and you look at the sentence or recommended sentence if found guilty for murder of a foreign official, we're assuming it's going to be at least second degree, right?
Well, at the very least.
Second degree, life in prison. First degree, life in prison or the death penalty.
Good.
So that, first degree is a minimum of life in prison or death penalty.
Gosh.
And obviously a slew of other charges for this scum of the earth.
What a shame.
Coming his way, so.
Good. And he, after the shooting, he went into the museum and pretended that he was a distraught witness of what had happened outside. The people inside the museum brought him water, comforted him. Mm. The police arrive a handful of minutes later, if it was even that long. And at that point, he stands up, puts the water down, approaches the police, and said that it was him.
That's got to be murder
one. That they're looking for.
He said, I did it twice. Yeah.
That's got to be murder one, right?
And then said what he did it for.
It has to be premeditated.
Well, of course. Say the last part of what you just said, Sam.
They have the quote in every single story of what he said to police.
Yeah, I did it, and then he's screaming "Free Palestine" on his way out.
Jeez.
And
murder of a foreign official.
And just based on his name, I'm assuming he's not even a Palestinian, or even of Palestinian descent.
No, again, he has
a Hispanic last name.
Correct.
I was going to say travesty and tragedy at the same time. Both work. What a beautiful young couple. They were
horrifying.
The engagement part.
He was Israeli. She was American born. He was from Jerusalem. She was from Overland Park. And he had just gone out and bought an engagement ring.
Mm.
I believe it was either next week or next month, which would be basically the same thing. Because today's the 22nd, they were going to fly to Jerusalem where he had told friends he was going to propose to her.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And there's no known connection between this young couple. May God bless them always. And look, there they are right there on TV. What a beautiful young couple. And they look so happy. And there's no known connection between these two young people and this waste of human oxygen who did allegedly what he did last night.
And most of the time there isn't, because they're not driven by the people that they're targeting. They're driven by ideology. The hate for the ideology. And completely innocent people become the target.
Awful.
All right. We'll get to the Wichita valedictorian here in just a few minutes. I got to go to something more light.
Sorry, didn't mean to bring things down. Just wanted to bring you that update.
Oh, no. I'll go to something a little lighter, like the plane crash in San Diego that occurred early this morning.
We can go back to, would you rather be hit in the face by a hockey puck, a baseball, or a soccer ball?
Now, if we're down, let's stay down.
Okay.
There have been multiple fatalities after a small plane crashed in a neighborhood of San Diego early this morning, spewing jet fuel and starting a large fire that damaged at least 15 homes. None of the residents in any of the homes were taken to the hospital, which is in and of itself amazing. Hmm. It appears all of the fatalities are from the plane, according to the assistant fire chief at a news conference earlier today. Officials do not yet know how many people were on board the plane. Quoting here from the assistant fire chief, multiple homes have been destroyed, and there is one car fire that will not go out no matter what we put on it. Read that, an electric vehicle.
Yeah. Thank you, Tesla. I mean, not just Teslas alone.
Right. Residents were being evacuated to a nearby school. You know, as bad as this story is, and I have great sympathy for the people who lost family members on that plane. The fact that the assistant fire chief said that multiple homes, quote, have been destroyed, and nobody in those homes was
hurt.
Even hurt enough that they needed to go to the hospital, because this happened in the 3 a.m. hour.
That's what a blessing. I mean,
did they say the size of the plane? That had to be a serious amount of jet fuel.
Cessna 550, seats 6 to 8, depending.
Wow.
Not to bring it too close to home, Scott, but.
You talk about Maya here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, you watch her fly all the time.
I've gone down to watch her fly. I follow her on Life 360 every time she's in the air.
Have you ever flown in with her?
No, she's now allowed to fly by herself.
Right. Oh, that's so much fun.
And has been for almost a year, actually. She has asked if I would want to be her first non-instructor passenger.
And?
Well, I've said yes.
That's amazing.
But I need depends. And undergarments.
Previously, you said no.
Beg your pardon?
And a Valium.
Well, yeah, I can't do that kind of stuff, though, but I will definitely need a pair of Depends and perhaps a night with no sleep.
It's going to be fine. My buddy is a CFI, a certified flight instructor, going through the same process, a little bit further along in the process, and I'm still here.
And you've been up with him?
Yeah, a couple times.
Okay, good. My mother one time was looking at Life 360 and saw that Maya was driving at 131 miles an hour and got very upset and called my other daughter and said, you need to tell your sister she is being reckless and needs to slow down. And Sarah Sarah went to Life 360. She goes, Mom, she's, or Grandma, she's literally over a cornfield.
I was going to say, did she not realize that there were no roads where she was driving?
There were no roads.
Roads.
Roads where Maya was. Roads. And so Sarah's like, Grandma, she's fine.
I've known a lot of pilots in my life, some Navy pilots. We obviously know Commander Jesse Reed.
Yes.
The adage is always, if the plane goes down, it's either a serious medical event for the pilot or a catastrophic explosion of some kind on that plane. Planes are not designed to go down.
Even
if the engines go out, you can land them safely. Something horrifyingly bad had to happen.
Well, and that's one of those, I know we got to get to the break, but that's one of those things that scares me is, and I don't know if she's done this yet or not. Oh, come on, Texter. Scott, show her confidence, not fear. I have
You've got
been,
all the confidence
I,
in the
I
world.
I am. I'm exaggerating for effect. I can't wait to go up with her.
No, you're not. You're not exaggerating at all.
All right, shut up.
But you're proud of her.
I'm very proud. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I'm proud. But anyway, one of the things that she has to do is stall the plane in flight.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this.
She has to turn
cut
it off.
Cut the engines off.
Cut the engine, yeah. And then restart it. Now, I probably won't go to watch that one. Because the only other thing stopping and probably not starting is my heart.
My buddy did that while we were up there, and I could have used some Depends in that moment.
Like total silence. It's just air.
Well, and when the engine is going, you can't see the propeller. When it's not, you can see the propeller. And you're like, what's going on here?
Start that thing back up. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. A story here out of Wichita. Bishop Carroll Catholic High School, down by Wichita, is asking a student to return his valedictorian medal in exchange for his diploma and his transcripts after, clutch your pearls, deviating from a previously approved graduation speech, according to the student's mother. The student, Austin Tran, went off script during his valedictorian speech over the weekend, saying the version the school approved just didn't feel genuine enough. Quoting here from mom, Ann Nguyen Tran, he wanted a personal and authentic speech that's not AI-generated nor compressed into a few minutes. He stayed up all night, as he confessed in the speech, to write one that went a little over time. He was allotted 4 minutes. So that his sincere message to his classmates can be delivered in the manner and tone that he wanted rather than what was dictated to him.
Now, you might be thinking he went off script from the speech that was approved. What did he say? He must have been dropping F-bombs, telling teachers they can go do something to themselves. No, he said nothing offensive. They were not really that upset that he went off script. What they were upset about and why they are asking him to return his valedictorian medal, which I don't know if you know, that's a pretty high accomplishment. I wouldn't know. I was never even close. But pretty high accomplishment is because, as Scott mentioned, he went over the four
four minutes. Wild.
It says here a transcript of Austin's speech shows that he specifically, quote, shouted out several of his friends and his parents, which the pre-approved speech did not have. He also left in a joke about a bishop falling asleep during the speech, which the school administration had edited out previously, according to his mom. They didn't want the joke about the bishop falling asleep during his speech. I mean, that is pretty profane.
Such sensitivity. Like, this kid worked his tail off the entire time at school.
Before Austin made the speech, administrators were made aware that he would stray from the previously approved speech, according to mom, and they threatened to pull him from the stage if he did. According to a Facebook post from mom, Austin told a school administrator, It will only reflect badly on you if I am pulled from this stage. While we understand how this can be perceived as disrespectful, he said it was not meant to be combative, but just his honest feelings. However, the admins, this is mom on her Facebook post, deemed this to be disrespectful to the Bishop Carroll community, along with not following the guidelines.
What's great is though the community is rallying behind Austin with nearly 10,000 people signing an online petition to reinstate his title. Thank goodness there's some commonsensical people there.
Mom is also worried that his scholarship to study neuroscience and biochemistry, so this kid is smart, at Notre Dame may be rescinded because of the incident.
What?
No way.
I would hope not.
There's no way. The university will say, no, come on over.
I mean, now, if he had said something horribly vulgar or made references to activities that people do when they like each other a lot.
Maybe besmirch the entire Catholic faith. I mean, it is a Catholic school.
Right. Or you know, made a joke about the bishop that was more insulting than just maybe falling asleep during my speech. I get it. You can be upset. I mean, there have been countless incidents, you know, where somebody's gone up there, you know, some impressionable 18-year-old to give their valedictorian speech, and they've tried to make, you know, obnoxious political statements or, you know, other than telling me to go out and tackle the world and take the world by the tail, said something that was inappropriate.
So he had mentioned how he didn't want an AI-written graduation speech. Mm-hmm. So I pulled up ChatGPT. Good evening, everyone.
Oh, my God, you had it write a speech.
Today is more than just a ceremony. It's a celebration. Celebration of growth. Perseverance, possibility. We've worked hard, faced challenges, and now we stand at a moment that marks both an end and a beginning.
Okay.
I just skimmed Austin's whole speech, the actual transcript, and it's positive.
To our teachers and to our mentors.
Sam.
Thank you for your guidance, your patience. And for pushing us to think beyond what we thought was possible.
Before you continue.
Yeah.
Exalted valedictorian of our class. Isn't it ironic that the school would have a school, so which is to say an institution of learning, right? Would have preferred that this Austin Tran read a speech he didn't write.
Put him in a box.
Instead, they got mad because he did what they should have, and I'm assuming taught him to do, and that's think for himself.
Mm. To our families and friends, your support has been our foundation, and for that, we are so grateful. And to my fellow graduates, we've shared late nights, early mornings, tough tests.
I'm the bishop.
And unforgettable moments.
What kind of student were you, Scott?
Hmm?
What kind of student were you?
This is going to sound a little braggadocious and honest. I'm a lot smarter than my grades let on.
I think a lot of people fit into that space.
I was never the smartest kid in my class. I think I was a lot smarter than what I brought home on my report card. And my parents reminded me of that a lot. I was more interested in playing sports and grabbing ass and
being a kid,
chasing girls,
yep.
And
playing music,
yeah. And did not study as hard as I could have. I'll say that.
That's okay.
The only time I was ever really, really successful was in schooling. Was my second semester at the University of Nebraska when I knew I needed to transfer to KU. And they would not let me back into a state school unless I got a 3.6 GPA my second semester. I ended up getting a 3.6. And then my senior year in college, I really tried. I really tried hard.
Well, you were also taking classes, presumably, that
were
more
journalism.
Yeah, exactly. Journalism classes, mm-hmm. not the gen eds.
And I enjoyed them.
And we leave here not just with knowledge, but with stories, with friendships.
You gave him an opening.
You stopped talking for a second. I know. I stopped talking for 1 second.
And with the resilience to keep going when things get hard. As we step into this next chapter, mm-hmm. let's carry forward the courage to try, the humility to learn, and the kindness to lift others up as we rise.
And so Dr. Rick was on TV. He was my journalism partner my senior year in college. The guy on the
Who's Dr. Rick?
The guy in the Progressive commercials who teaches you not to be your parents.
Wait, what?
Yes. His real name is Bill Glass.
How do I not know this?
He was my in your senior year at the University of Kansas, and if you're in the journalism school, they will pair you with someone as a partner. So they shoot the camera while you're doing a fake report, and then you shoot the camera while they do a fake report, and then you guys go edit your stuff back at the J school. And so the guy who plays Dr. Rick, his real name is Bill Glass. He was the guy that I was paired with in my senior year.
The world is not waiting for us to be perfect. It's waiting for us to show up.
Telephone number is 913-586-7...
Congratulations, class of 2025.
586-7798.
Let's go do something incredible.
Here on Dana and Parks.
Thank you. Good night.
Bob Jovi is filling in today for Dana Wright, who is out sick, a.k.a. Bobby Kerr. Big show coming up Saturday night.
Yeah, we've got Summer Jam and Knucklehead, so it's been a big show. We started the Summer Jam series a couple of years ago based on the Summer Jam series that used to happen in Kansas City back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And so we recreated that, so to speak, with the best tribute bands in town. And I think this is our fourth or fifth year in a row doing it. So this Saturday night, the 24th at Knuckleheads, the best music venue in the entire world. And we've got tributes to Styx, Def Leppard, The Cars, Guns N' Roses, and Bon Jovi. So 6 p.m.
Are you the headliner?
Actually, no. I requested to be right before the headliner. So Guns N' Roses, the Guns N' Roses band is going to be the last band.
Why'd you want to?
Because my bedtime's at 9 o'clock.
That a baby. I knew I liked you.
Right? So 6 p.m. doors, 7 p.m. show on the outdoor stage in Knuckleheads. It'll be a phenomenal
right
time.
All right, good.
Thank you.
That'll be fun. Terry in Garnett. Terry, hello.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Wonderful. Hey, so when my daughter was in high school, they would always publish at the end of the year kind of the senior wills where they, you know, could go through and thank everybody and say how much, you know, they loved high school and all of this. And so one young man wrote his little paragraph and they published it for all of the students. And it was just kind of nonsense and nobody could really understand what he was trying to say.
Until you read the first letter of every line and put it together, I bet.
First letter of each word and you put it together and it spelled out some lovely profanity and telling the world off. And of course it happened to be that, you know, he was the valedictorian, and but the paper didn't come out until after graduation, so he already had all of his stuff. But then the school was so mad, because I went to school, I said, okay, we figured it out, we broke the code. And they figured out what it said, and then they were just really ticked off.
Now, I don't,
but there really wasn't much.
Let me ask you this, though, Terry. Was this in Lansing?
No, it was not.
Okay, because they had that happen years ago in Lansing, where the valedictorian had written a letter to the student body in the yearbook, and it did make sense. And I must confess, this was the younger brother of a very good friend of mine. I won't name any of them. But I know this guy, he's not a kid anymore. My God, he's in his 40s. But he carefully wrote this letter to the student body. And let's just say that the first letter of every line, if you read it, spelled out blank off.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. This was similar. Yep. Exactly. So I don't know. They tried to, he had a bunch of really good scholarships and they tried to go back and get the schools to rescind his scholarships.
Wow.
and all of those kinds of things. I don't think they really got anywhere with it, but oh my gosh, were people mad.
I bet.
All right, Terry, thank you for the story. Maurice in Overland Park. Hello, Maurice.
Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Going very well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Love the show. You know, my wife and I are both attorneys, and we're driving. We're actually headed out of town for the holiday. And, you know, we have two kids. Oh, three kids. Sorry, forgot about the last one. And we were just talking about it. I know. Isn't that crazy? It's a young, you know, she's young. She's new.
Yeah, sure.
So we were talking. So we were talking about it, and, you know, just from a legal side, attorney standpoint, you know, the content doesn't matter, right? Because later on the following year, if it occurs again and the school comes down on the kid, it does not come down on this kid, you're just putting yourself in a pickle from a standpoint of not arbitrarily enforcing your policy. And so I get why the school has to enforce it. Now, does the punishment mean crime? Maybe not. Yeah. But I totally get the content. The content doesn't need to matter. My son did that. I would ask him, what did the school tell you to do? You changed it. It's your fault. You know what it looks like. The punishment's a punishment, son. You should have never done it. And that would be my conversation to my kid. And just the consequences have consequences. So, you know, I'm pretty sure the kid's going to go through life and do very well. Mm-hmm. But that's just my opinion. We're in the car talking, and so we thought we'll call you.
Well, how many kids are in the car currently? Did you put them all in there, or just two of them?
You know, now you got me questioning myself. But all three's in here. All okay. three's in here. We have one. We got two asleep and one awake. So,
well, be good. You're in trouble now, Maurice.
Scott, have a good one.
All right, you too, buddy. All right, be well.
I'm always in trouble, Scott.
Right on.
You know that one that's awake is never going to let number three live that down.
Unless that's the one that was forgotten.
Hopefully, because he said it was a baby.
Which is why he should remember that he's now got three.
Plead the fifth on that one, Maurice. Wow. Plead the fifth. We have a bear update.
Oh, the bear in Grandview?
A week and 2 days of silence regarding the black bear.
Well, don't give. Hang on.
Paddington.
Well, yes, Grass Paddington. That's right.
What is he up to now?
Well, we're going to find out right after the news here at the top of the hour. Sam Stevie III, Bobby Kerr filling in today for Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.